Welcome into the latest edition of College Football Smothered and Covered. My name's Barrett Salee. I appreciate you checking out the show, episode 36 of the revamped edition of the show. Believe Network has done a great job stepping it up, making it even more of what it used to be, making it even bigger of what it used to be, helping it out across the Believe Network. So check out their shows wherever you get your podcasts. Like I say, every single episode, go subscribe, share it, give it a 5-star review, give it a 1-star review. I don't really care if it's a 1-star review because constructive criticism is something that I like. It's something that I need in order to make this show better. So those of us around this show, we want to see what you don't like because we want to make this the best podcast for you. Look, is it different than Late Kick? Is it different than Andy Staples? Is it different than that SEC podcast or Saturday Down South? I don't know, maybe a little bit. And that's good because I want you to listen to all those guys. I want you to consume all those guys and just use this show, use us as one of your many college football shows that you listen to 24/7, 365. Because like I say, every single episode, college football is the most undercovered sport in all the land. If you have any comments, please leave them in the comment section. I will try to get them on the show as best as I possibly can. You can do it on YouTube, X, wherever you get Facebook. They will all pop up one little nice little column right here. So you can leave your comments. I'll try to address them as quickly and as efficiently as possible. Got a big show today. We'll talk about an Ole Miss defensive end who has some pretty harsh words for the school and the coaching staff that he left to go to Oxford. We will talk about that. Also, my good friend Chip Patterson at my former employer, CBSSports.com, has his most interesting quarterback battles of spring practice. We'll talk a little bit about that. A couple of those I am very interested in. Breaking Tea has you covered. Whether it be shirts that pop up an hour after a viral moment or legacy shirts of players from previous eras or just cheerleading shirts like this, Purple Rain for Washington. Obviously, Washington had a great season last year. We'll see what happens this year. In fact, we will talk about their quarterback battle coming up later in the show. But go to BreakingTee.com/smotheredandcovered. BreakingTee.com/smotheredandcovered. You can get this shirt. You can get pretty much any shirt in the entire world of college football. So let's take a little look at something that I think is wildly entertaining. Princely Umanamilan left Florida to go to Ole Miss. He's an edge rusher. He's a guy who I think in terms of Ole Miss and what they want to do from a defensive standpoint, maybe one of the most critical defensive players they have, because the way Lane Kiffin operates, he wants a dynamic offense and just enough defense. And he's done a very good job of that, obviously. Last season going to a New Year's Six Bowl, in the Peach Bowl, something that I think Ole Miss fans love and something that Ole Miss fans view as a foundation for what should and I think could and I think should be a team this year, specifically with all the transfers that can make the college football playoff, the 12-team college football playoff. But this is just an absolute takedown of the Florida staff. This is a video. I don't like to play necessarily long videos, but this is one that I think is worth every second. So check it out from yesterday.
My attacking the run game a little bit, but I feel like here I'm getting coached harder for things like that. You know, I feel like at Florida, like the way I was coached, it was kind of like, it was almost as if like they was just telling me to go out there and use my talent, if that makes sense. But here, you know, Coach Lou and Coach Joyner, they really on me about the little things, you know, attacking the run. Coach Lou really goes through the progressions of the drops and the routes that are being run when I have to go into coverage. Like when I was at Florida, it was like they would just tell me, go drop to this area, and I would have to figure out everything else on my own. But here, you know, they go real into depth. I feel like I'm actually getting, you know, developed here.
Ouch. Damn. That soundbite is about as big of a takedown of the Florida staff that I can remember. And it looked like, I don't know if you guys saw that. It looked like in that clip, Prince of Umana Milan kind of held back a little bit and then said, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to go all in. I'm going to go rip the staff. It's something that is, if I'm a Florida fan, I look at that and think, "Woo! What the hell am I doing here? What the hell are we doing here?" Because this is a guy, you look at what he can do with proper coaching, he might be the biggest piece of that Ole Miss puzzle. So I think the future is so bright for him at Ole Miss. And that is an incredible takedown of what is going on in Florida. So let's spin it forward. What does this mean for the Gators moving forward? You're in trouble. Florida, you're in trouble. Billy Napier, you're in trouble. If you have current college football players leaving because your staff is not coaching, then that is a reflection of Billy Napier and the culture and the organization from a corporate structure that he has built at Florida. And you see this in a lot of different places. A lot of times, you've seen it at Florida. Coaches with, I think, tremendous backgrounds, a lot of momentum, a lot of hype, finally get a big-time job, and then they fail miserably. Why? Because they don't understand that you have to have a top-down structure in all aspects of your program. I've talked to a lot of coaches about this, and one in particular, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it's a team on a team that just rotates coach after coach after coach after coach from the assistant standpoint because they're successful in grooming assistant coaches. Why? Because they teach structure. They teach how it should be done, not on the field, not in the film room, but off the field. And now you have 2 years of Billy Napier where clearly it's not working the way that it was intended. You got a new president in there. Sass has been there for what, year and a half? So I'm not saying that it's a presidential decision on what happens with coaching staff, but it can be influenced. And that's a big deal. That's a big part of this. And then you factor in that schedule, which is just like murderer's row for any coach, much less one who is, if he's not on the one of the hottest seats, and if he's not on the hottest seat in America, Billy Napier is on one of the hottest seats in America. And so I think with what Princely said, like, it's one thing to think that privately. And look, I think he went in to that press conference with maybe an intent to compliment Ole Miss, but not necessarily throw his old school under the bus, even though with what he was saying, it's almost impossible not to do that. But then said, screw it. I'm going all in. And for something like that to happen, to me, the frustration level has to be way, way up there. And if it's not just him, I guarantee you, if there are other Florida players, whether current or former, who feel that way, they're sending him texts, they're sending him DMs, they're sending him the clapping emoji, however they receive, however the Utes communicate now. If you don't know what Utes means, go see My Cousin Vinny. It's required viewing before the football season. Actually, no, before the weekend. Do it now. But something like that can snowball. Something like that can have a massive effect on recruiting. And I know Florida has done a pretty good job on the recruiting trail from a high school perspective, from a player retention standpoint, maybe not so much. We talked about Trevor Etienne the last couple of episodes. Obviously, losing him is a big deal. So this is something that I think can resonate with high school recruits and also players who Princely came up with, came through the camp ranks with. If somebody is killing it, let's just say at FAU and he's a teammate or he played in the same county or region or whatever, and you hear what, and he hears what Princely says, that's one of those things where you're like, hey man, call him up on the phone, text him, hey, what are you talking about? Because I just had a Florida staff member come down here and tell me the exact opposite. So it's a snowball effect, and it's something that if I'm a Florida fan, man, I am pissed. And if you didn't like Billy Napier before, you probably do now. So look, that is bad news. If you want to leave a comment, check it out, comment section. This show is airing live at 9:24 a.m. Eastern time, so I can answer your comments. There's a couple already in there about the Braves. We will get to the Braves a little bit later. Obviously, I have my Breaking Tee 4070 Ronald Acuna shirt on. We will have a little bit more about some new projects coming up later in the show. So, but if you have comments about college football with what Florida said, with what was said a couple days ago in Oxford, leave it in the chat. We'll try to get to it as soon as possible. Let's talk some quarterbacks. My good friend Chip Patterson. Chip has been at CBS for forever. And I love Chip. One of the nicest, not the nicest dudes in the world. Now, it is the offseason. It's list season. And so Chip posted on CBSSports.com his quarterback battles to watch this spring. No surprise in the headlines, Michigan, Ohio State, USC. Those are absolutely huge. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So instead of going through everything that Chip wrote, I mean, look, it's an 8-minute read. If you want to go read it, I encourage you to go read it. It is phenomenal. So go check it out and take a look at what Chip says about every quarterback battle. But USC was in the headline, and here's what Chip has to say about USC. Obviously, the contenders, Miller Moss, Jaden Maiava, UNLV transfer. Miller Moss played in the bowl game when Caleb opted out. So, you know, I think a little bit of an experience difference in terms of overall snaps, but a little bit of an experience difference in terms of what those snaps mean, the opponent in those snaps, what the spotlight is on those. Because obviously Miller Moss, after doing what he did in the Holiday Bowl, just absolutely going off, that's a foundation you can build off of. That's something that you can look at and say, okay, let's go. But it's the Joe Milton effect with this, right? Is this the Joe Milton effect where a couple years ago for Tennessee, Joe Milton comes in, lights up Clemson in that Orange Bowl, and then reverts back to what he has always been, which is a guy with a great fastball, with a great deep ball, with a great arm, and then nothing in between? Or is this one of those situations where you see him and say, okay, let's build off this. It might look a little different, but we can build an offense around this. And I think the fact that you have a little bit of a different style going up against it in Jaden Maiava, and you can go read Lincoln Riley's comments on both of these guys, came out a couple days ago when he commented. But, I mean, Jaden was awesome last year for a very good UNLV team. And, you know, you go 3,000 yards and 17 touchdowns and running a little bit more than a willing runner, then that is like perfect secret sauce for Lincoln Riley. So it comes down to, I think, Lincoln Riley's decision on what he wants USC to be in the Big Ten. Not necessarily the offense, not necessarily the style of quarterback. What does he want USC to be? And we all know he's stubborn. Why do you think his defense sucks all the time? Because he doesn't care. He doesn't teach fundamentals. So if we're spinning it forward to an offense, yeah, Jaden probably has the edge because he's more than a willing runner. I don't think Miller Moss is at that level. Now, I think when you spin it forward to the start of the season, the upside is huge, but more specifically what the upside is in terms of going against Big Ten opponents. And Jaden Maiava is the guy that I think absolutely fits what they should be doing. Now, I'm not a coach. I'm not Lincoln Riley. I've never even pretended to be one, although a lot of you watching and listening think, well, what does this guy's opinion matter? Honestly, it doesn't. But this is a talk show, so that's what we do. We talk. That's why this spring is so interesting, because it will give you a glimpse of what USC and what Lincoln Riley intends this offense to be. And the answer is, we'll see. And that's why it's so interesting. So I'm excited to see what happens there. All right, Nebraska. This one for that Chip Patterson mentioned. Nebraska fans absolutely freak out when you talk about them on any platform nationally because they crave it. It's been so long since Nebraska has been relevant, and I love the coaching staff. Matt does a great job over there. And I think what he's been able to do to make this program relevant, especially getting Dylan Raiola to flip from Georgia right before the early signing period, right before early signing day, is absolutely huge. It's a statement by Nebraska. It's a statement for the program. It's a statement to the fan base that Matt is not messing around. And as a result, he should be starting at quarterback. But will he? Henrik Harburg is a guy that not many people know about. He's a big dude. He's capable of winning at a high level. What's his upside? Is his upside comparable to Dylan Raiola? No. No. And so I think that's what's most important here. Nebraska fans, and I'm not speaking for the entire fan base because I don't know exactly. I'm in Smyrna, Georgia. I'm outside of Atlanta. The amount of Nebraska fans that I talk to on a daily basis is not what I talk. It's nowhere close to what I talk to from an SEC perspective or ACC or whatever. But the addition of Dylan Raiola tells me that Nebraska fans understand that this might be a year in which you're okay giving the offense some mulligans, because the Jeff Sims thing was stupid to begin with. Anybody who saw him play at Georgia Tech knew what was going to happen last year. But there's another year of mulligans because of the momentum that he generated. I'm talking about Matt, generated from the early signing period. But what is the upside for Dylan? What do they give him? How much of the offense does he understand? How much of the offense do they give him? How much do they want to give him? What does the offense look like? Because I guarantee you, Dylan Raiola will be starting at Nebraska by mid-season. Now, obviously, the schedule is interesting early with what they have, especially with the Buffs, but does it really matter? Like, if you're 7-5, let me ask you, Nebraska fans, if you're watching or listening or hit me up on DM or whatever, if you're a Nebraska fan and you go 7-5 with Dylan Raiola, that's progress, right? To me, isn't that a huge step forward? Because I would imagine it is. It's a program that is just starved for attention, starved for a championship. And a 7-5 record with a true freshman quarterback that you can build around is big. Now, the question and the tricky part would be to keep him next year. But that's a problem for another day, right? So that is one that I'm excited about that I can't wait to see. Last one, and it's Washington. All right? Will Rogers, DeMarcus Davis, Damon Williams Jr. I said from the moment Will Rogers got there, he's not going to start. And Washington fans lit me up like a Christmas tree. I'm not a Will Rogers fan. He was a dink and duck quarterback when Mike Leach was there. Yeah, they changed it a little bit last year with Zach Arnett. Obviously, Zach Arnett's not there anymore. Doesn't really matter. The offense, I think, will go back. Doesn't matter. This isn't a Mississippi State portion of the show. But I think Will Rogers is a system quarterback under what Mike Leach did before Mike Leach tragically passed away. That does not fit what Washington's identity has been. But what will Washington's identity be? That's the most important thing, because obviously Kalen DeBoer's gone, Jed Fish comes in. But Will Rogers doesn't really fit what Arizona was under Jed Fish. You need to be more dynamic. Will Rogers isn't that guy. Now, what is interesting is, and take a look at what Chip mentions in his story. Because these are a couple things that I think are critical when you're talking about quarterback battles like this. Damon Williams signed with Arizona and then came to Seattle when Jed Fish got that job. That's a big deal. Davis was a four-star prospect, but not necessarily one who was highly touted, came on late in high school. To me, what this screams is Jed Fish, who entered the portal, and not Jed Fish, Will Rogers, who entered the portal during the coaching change and came back. Jed Fish wants Will Rogers to be that guy. He really, really wants him to be that guy, but also understands what I just said, that maybe Will Rogers is not going to fit with Washington. So we had to get an insurance policy. And he's got two potentially great quarterbacks as his insurance policy. I think that's all this is. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll find out during spring practice. Because this is a battle that I think, of all the battles out there, we can talk about Ohio State and Michigan and all this stuff. Washington's is critical. Because after what happened last year, going to the national championship game, going through the coaching change, going through the journey into the Big Ten, this is where they shape and define their new identity, because it might be one that is not of a national championship caliber team or even a Big Ten contending team. Flip it around. What happens if Jed does what he did at Arizona last year? Could he do it with Will Rogers? I don't think so. Could he do it with the others defending or contending, I should say, for the job? Maybe. But that's why this is such so interesting. That's why this battle is, I think, the most interesting, most critical, and most impactful quarterback battle of spring. Because also some of those guys could transfer too, one or both, if they don't win the job, if they don't come out of spring practice as the number one quarterback. And let's be like, Jed Fish is not going to name a starter. I don't think anybody's going to name a starter anymore during spring practice, unless you're Texas last year with Quinn Ewers. But players know who are getting number one reps. They take the snaps. They understand. So it'll be interesting. Andy Stowe in the questions or comments section. Braves open up tomorrow at Philly. What's your total prediction for the year? Maybe they open up at Philly next year. Weather's not, or next tomorrow. Weather's not looking that great. 102 wins. That's my goal. Ronald Acuna, 40-75. More stolen bases for Ronnie. There was news this morning hosting the Braves Report on AJC. So go subscribe to that podcast as well. That'll do it for this edition of College Football Smothered and Covered. Please subscribe. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a 1-star rating. You know where to find us. If you're listening or if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble, you know how to get your content. I don't have to tell you, hey, go to Apple, go to Spotify, go to YouTube, go to Rumble. But I'm going to tell you, do all of those things. Give us a rating. Give us a comment. Give us a all that stuff. Even if it's a 1-star rating, give us a comment as to why. Love that stuff. Enjoy your Wednesday, everybody. Tomorrow, like Andy Stowe, the commenter, said, Major League Baseball season kicks off. The best time of year in terms of overall sports, in my opinion. College football is the greatest season of the year, but overall sports, baseball, March Madness, the Masters, so much fun this time of year. Enjoy your Wednesday.